KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Urgency, part of the closing message from Democrats 9 days from Election Day.
We're running like everything's on the line because everything's on the line.
Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz in Arizona. Today he'll be in Nevada while Vice President Harris holds an event in Philadelphia. Former President Donald Trump headlines a rally Sunday at the world's most famous arena, New York City's Madison Square Garden. In Novi, Michigan, Saturday, he asked voters,
"Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I think so."
Former First Lady Michelle Obama campaigned with Vice President Harris in Kalamazoo. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel's strike on Iran seriously harmed Iran and achieved all of its goals. Meanwhile, authorities in Israel say at least 35 people were hurt in what they're calling a terror attack in Tel Aviv when a truck rammed a bus. This is ABC News. A judge temporarily blocked further efforts by Louisiana officials to clear homeless encampments in New Orleans ahead of 3 Taylor Swift concerts in the city this weekend.
District Judge Lori Jupiter granted a temporary restraining order directing state law enforcement officials to not touch the property of 75 homeless people under a bridge near the Superdome. The homeless people had sued. State officials have said they were moving the people to a new location. A spokesperson for Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says the effort was to put New Orleans' best foot forward for all the attention over Taylor Swift's concerts and the upcoming Super Bowl.
It's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. A Florida woman was convicted of second-degree murder for leaving her boyfriend to die after he was zipped in a suitcase. Sarah Boone initially told detectives they were playing hide-and-seek and drinking when Jorge Torres got in. She fell asleep. But detectives found videos showing Torres screaming for help. Boone testified there were previous incidents of violence. She was acting in self-defense. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin has one of the higher closure rates in the U.S. for charter schools. A new report lays out the challenges. Here's Mike Moen.
Charter schools, which receive public funding but are often run by private entities, are billed as alternative learning environments for families who feel they need more options. But the new findings show nationally, more than a quarter of them close by year 5, with rates worsening over time. Wisconsin is among the states with a closure rate of at least 45%. Jenny Hofschulte of the Wisconsin Public Education Network says families enrolled are less scrambling when a charter school abruptly closes.
That's 45% of those families put into a lurch and having to make pivots and new choices for their children.
The report from the National Center for Charter School Accountability cites low enrollment, along with fraud and mismanagement, as the top factors behind the closures. Backers of charters say despite these issues, these schools are sometimes still the best options in underserved areas. Hofschulte acknowledges some families might be happy with their charter school, but as the push to authorize these sites over time ignores the root issues that hinder educational outcomes.
When you look at student outcomes, like, poverty plays the biggest role in it, but we're not talking about how to address poverty in communities. We're saying, like, well, it must be the public school system, so we'll do this other thing. You know, a charter will be better.
The Milwaukee public school system recently dealt with a financial scandal. Hofschulte says that shouldn't be taken lightly, but she suggests those examples are scrutinized more than the shortcomings of charter schools. According to state data, Wisconsin currently has 226 charter schools in operation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny and a bit breezy for today with south winds up to 20 miles per hour, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 30s to near 40. On Monday, a few showers and breezy, highs in the mid-60s.
Right now, it's 48.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Wyawega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by NACD with Make Voting a Tradition in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're honored to be able to welcome Minnesota First Lady Mrs. Gwen Walls to Native Roots Radio. Gwen, thank you, Pini Gigi, for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be with you, and good morning, everybody.
Hey, last time we saw you in person was at your holiday cookie party in St. Paul for the press and media. Again, a big thank you and a Pini Gigi for the invitation. And now we've been seeing you all over traveling the campaign trail. We're so excited and proud of you and Tim and here from Minnesota. What has the campaign trail experience been like for you?
Well, Robert, thank you for coming to that party. And that was fun and fun to spend time with you and eat cookies always. And one thing about the campaign trail is I've been bringing some of those cookies along with me. We bake them at East Cliff and then take them with us and leave them at field offices across the country, which has been really fun to bring a little bit of our home or our tradition with cookies to people who are working hard for the campaign. So it has been amazing to travel from state to state. Honestly, I'm spending a lot of time in Wisconsin. Sometime in Minnesota, but Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, New Hampshire. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. So it's been really fun because we are living our values. And some of your Minnesota listeners probably know Tim and I quite well, know that we just find a lot of joy in being able to advocate and campaign for what we really believe in, because so very, very much is at stake, right? And the distinction is really clear in this election. And I think the thing I talk about the most is that Tim and Kamala will be a president and a vice president for everyone and all of us. And that is a stark contrast to the other side. And, you know, we could go on with a lot of examples, but I would just say that J.D. Vance and Trump do not really have everyone in mind when they are thinking about this country as a whole. And so to advocate for that, and I know specific issues that you'll ask me about, but the reproductive rights, our own freedoms, having a seat at the table, and being trusted to make our own decisions. Those are all really important things that Tim and I have fought for and cared about And now we get a chance to do that in lots of states and meet lots of people. So it's been intense, but it's been good.
Absolutely. I'm a former teacher also. And what's exciting, I got to just let you know, too, we're based out of the Twin Cities, but we're on 30 channels in Wisconsin, too. And we just know how our relatives are so important to get out the vote. And all the hard work you and Tim have done in Wisconsin is duly noted.
Well, thank you. You know, your vote is your voice. And I think sometimes we think we're just going to vote on election day, but we might not. We might have something come up like road construction, right? Or a sick child. And what I would say is get out and vote early. It's too important to miss. And so in Wisconsin, you can vote right now, right? You don't even have to be registered. You can bring a form of ID. And I think that goes through November 1st. Yeah. And so you can register and vote at the same time. It hardly takes long, but make your voice heard. And in Minnesota, of course, we're in early voting too. Tim and I voted yesterday. Because it was a time when we could both be in Minnesota and we wanted to do that together. And Gus, who just turned 18 in the middle of October, was able to vote with us and for his first time. And so that was a big deal. And Gus and I both told Tim that we voted for him. So, you know, if you get votes in your own household, you're doing all right.
Exactly. And we know when the young ones become first time voters like Gus, they'll be voters the rest of their lives.
That's right. That's right. Don't give up your power. Do not give up your power. Keep that. Your vote is your voice.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you've spoken honestly about your journey with IVF and starting a family. And we're here at Native Roots Women think that women should have complete choice about what she does with her body. Can you speak a little bit about why protecting reproductive rights is so important in this country?
I would love to. You know, Tim and I had not spoken publicly about our journey. And actually, the method we used was IUI, which is in the IVF family. But I just want to be really clear on that. There are all kinds of fertility journeys, and maybe no two are alike. We had not spoken publicly about that because it had been a really challenging thing for us. And it was at the time, like, it made it more painful to share it. We had a neighbor who helped us, but even our family and close friends didn't really know the journey that we'd taken to have our children. And when the Alabama Supreme Court decision came down, Tim and I knew that we had to speak publicly, because we believed everybody needed to have their own right and their own choice to create or have a family if they chose in the way that they chose. And I say out on the trail, nobody should be telling us if, when, or how to start a family. And it is very clear that Trump and Vance have an agenda here. You know, so even if we feel safe in Minnesota or in Wisconsin partially around this issue, if there's a national abortion ban that Trump and Vance have talked about that and discussed that and said, you know, that's part of their agenda. Well, that's not going to protect women in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And the biggest difference, if I could just state it clearly, is that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz trust women. And they trust them to make their own choices about their own bodies. And then I think all your other choices follow from that. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump do not. And even in Project 2025, it is clear that they could make dramatic changes to reproductive freedom, specifically around medication abortion, without congressional approval. And they could do that through the FDA commissioner who they would appoint. So there's a lot on the line in reproductive freedom. And that's why Tim and I decided to speak about it. And, you know, we've had to even have conversations with our own children because we were not at the point, you know, where we had spoken about that process with them. Neither one of them is married or has children yet. And so I don't know if you know exactly when the right time is, but we decided not. This was the right time because we feel so strongly about it. And if we can lend our voices to that, we are absolutely going to do so. And if there's no other reason to vote, having your own choice and your own rights to make your own decisions, beginning with your body, is a reason to vote.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it was great seeing you and the governor and Gus going and voting early. I know Wendy and I have voted early. Our producer Haley has voted early. Have a plan. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah. We have to have strategies. Lives are busy and things get in the way. If you wait till election day and you don't have a backup plan in case your child is sick or, you know, the road construction is happening and you're going to be delayed and then you have a lot of other things on your list, you may not get the chance to vote. So doing that early is great. And if you can, but if you have election day, make sure you have a backup plan to your backup plan, because we need you to vote. That's part of your own power.
Oh, thank you so much, Pini Gigi, for joining us for this quick chat today on Native Roots Radio. We hope the next time we speak, we're calling you Mrs. Gwen Walz, the Second Lady of the United States of America. Big Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Robert. Go home and hug those grandbabies, would you?
Tell right
Wendy
on.
Hi. Thank you.
I will. Thank you, Pini Gigi. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Thanks, Haley.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, before we get our friend Robert Lilligren on, let's take a listen to our friend from the state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers. Let's take a listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. November 5th is a really important day. It's Election Day in Wisconsin. Voting is the single most powerful tool we have in our democracy, and it's essential that each and every eligible voter makes a plan to vote this year. So first things first, make sure that you are registered to vote. You can check your voter registration, find your polling place, and check on what's on the ballot by going to myvote.wisconsin.gov. If you aren't already registered to vote, don't worry. You can register at your polling location. Just be sure to bring a proof of residence document, like a utility bill or a lease agreement, or your photo ID can double as your proof of residence if it's your current residence too. If you're voting absentee this year, you can still request your absentee ballot online until October 31st, but then make sure to get it back to your clerk by 8 p.m. on November 5th. The Postal Service recommends mailing your absentee ballot at least 1 week before Election Day to ensure it arrives on time. You can also return your ballot to your clerk's office, a drop box, or at your polling place on Election Day. And starting this week, you can vote early at your municipal clerk's office or another site designated by your clerk. Dates and hours vary by municipality. If you're planning to vote in person on Election Day, polls open at 7 a.m. Bring your photo ID, grab a friend, and make sure to get in line by 8 p.m. Because of fair maps I signed into law, Wisconsinites will no longer be voting under some of the most gerrymandered legislative maps in America. Our maps are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people. So find everything you need to vote at myvote.wi.gov, and let's get out to vote, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, wow, that's great. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO. It's great to see you. I got to jump right in, Robert. We've had a great show so far, so let's keep it up. No.
Right. I hope I can measure up.
You really can. So
Gwen Waltz is a hard act to follow, as is Governor Evers. So
you're definitely up for it. Hey, I got to definitely bring up this Indian Country Today. Had an article about President Joe Biden is set to make his first visit to tribal lands, offering long-awaited apology for the U.S. government's past actions regarding Indian boarding school. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard it on sort of the blogs and on the Native media, but just before I came on, I was watching mainstream TV network news, and it's on there as well.
Wow.
And it was on the local news, and what never ceases to surprise me, because as we know, all Native people are familiar with this history. Pretty much all Native people have survivor stories within their families, but the outside world doesn't know that much about this issue. And so to see it in mainstream media and to have a sitting president of the United States make that apology, you know, it's not going to bring anybody back, but it's a good place to start to change the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And wow, how many days do we have left? I know we're only going to have one segment with you today, and that's talk what you want to talk about, Robert.
Well, yeah, so we have what is it now? 12 days, something like that. Haley, looks like you know.
Questioning as well.
Okay. Well, I'm not showing my full T-shirt because you'd probably have to blur it out, but I'm wearing my Get Out the Vote. Wait, where do I cover it here? There we go. They're the hot item in Indian Country, man. Stop by the office. Maybe we could have one for you. Listening to Governor Evers and, of course, our first lady, Gwen Waltz here in Minnesota, like you said, hopefully to be the second lady of the United States. But I was just came across a story right before we came on about Wisconsin and some of the special interests that are getting involved and the ways they're getting involved. And there's a new Republican PAC, Political Action Committee, that is spending big backing Jill Stein. And they've spent about $1 million, some of it's anti-Harris, but about half of it's pro-Jill Stein mailers. And I just think your listeners should be aware of that and who's spending that money and what that means when a Republican PAC is spending for a third party candidate. And I want to be clear, I don't at all question Jill Stein's right to run for president, but I do want voters to understand that a vote for Jill Stein is a vote for Trump. And in a state, a battleground state like Wisconsin, that could do some damage.
Well, she's a grifter as far as I'm concerned. Allegedly. Whoa.
Nice. Yeah.
I got to be careful here. I believe that, you know, we don't talk about this a lot, Robert, but I believe Harris is going to get a lot of votes from Haley, not our Haley, but the person that ran against Trump.
Ah, right, right. Well, I think, you know, people were dissatisfied with him. I love the ads we're seeing, and I know we're not a battleground state, so we're not seeing the ads that people are seeing in other parts of the country, but these former Trump voters, right, that are voting for Harris, they just say, I can't do it anymore. I can't vote for him anymore. I think those are very powerful messages. And so it's good to see that. And I'm just feeling good. Beyonce is going to be at Harris's next rally. That's amazing. You know, those Beyonce, Taylor Swift, these are people that can mobilize people, you know, and inject a little bit of what? Not just class, but some joy into this presidential campaign.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's reported the orange one, people get there and he's ranting and raving about nonsense and people leave. And that isn't what happens at the rallies that I've been to.
Right, right. So this is exciting. It's good momentum building, you know. I mean, when we're this close to the election, when I was campaigning back in my day, you know, I would call this the see it, do it days. You know, you've got your plan, you're working to your plan, you're on your message, you're reaching out to your base and you're motivating them to the polls. You don't have a lot of time for distractions, right? Mm-hmm. It's keep your eye on that prize and put your head down and move forward. And I really feel that the Harris-Waltz campaign is in that mode.
Yeah, definitely. What plans do you have, or do you have plans for November 5th?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I was listening to Gwen Waltz talk just now, and my husband and I love to vote on election day. That's just kind of a thing. We go together. We're one of those kind of couples. We're usually amongst the very first people at our polls. But we're discussing, seriously, we're voting early for two reasons. One, it frees up the rest of our day to do more get out the vote work, which we'll be doing, of course, to make voting a tradition. And others. And the other is, and this for me was kind of the decisive argument, and is that we don't know what's going to happen on election day, right? I mean, it could all hit the fan, and who knows? And so rather than risk some kind of disruption in our ability to vote, we're going to go vote early this year.
Yeah, we're the same. We already voted early, Wendy and I, and I know Haley has too, and to help other people get out the vote. But there's also that gray cloud that we know we're going to deal with after the election. He's already said since 2015 that elections are rigged, even the one he won.
Right, right. So it's going to be, you know, fasten your seatbelts, and it's going to be something after the election. But my vision, my hope is that the Harris-Waltz win will be so decisive that that you just can't question it, right? You can. Exactly. And they will. They will. They're already laying the groundwork for lawsuits in a number of states, including Wisconsin. But but hopefully the victory is so great that it's not to be challenged.
Well, we might be on the air till 8 o'clock, and then I want to run down to the DFL or wherever that is this year, if it's St. Paul or Minneapolis, and hang out.
Cool, cool. And then one other kind of cool thing that's happening in the Twins in Minnesota this year, due to legislative changes just this last session, are these pop-up voting places.
Yeah.
Which go to kind of lower voter turnout communities and have pop-up voting places. And there's going to be one right in the middle of Indian country here at Little Earth of United Tribes. And I am struggling to find the date. I'm scrolling through, but I just think
Haley, who brought that up? Somebody brought that up to us.
Yeah, I forget who we were talking to though, but
sure. Yeah, so that will be very cool. And then just to make voting a tradition, I have some stats about Native votes here and just what a power we are here in Minnesota and our work with make voting a tradition and throughout the community here, really trying to maximize that Native vote and that Native voice.
Absolutely. Hey, maybe you can join us if we're on past our time on election day to talk about what's happening and get people motivated.
All right, let me know.
I will. Hey, thanks a lot, Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Urgency, part of the closing message from Democrats 9 days from Election Day.
We're running like everything's on the line because everything's on the line.
Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz in Arizona. Today he'll be in Nevada while Vice President Harris holds an event in Philadelphia. Former President Donald Trump headlines a rally Sunday at the world's most famous arena, New York City's Madison Square Garden. In Novi, Michigan, Saturday, he asked voters,
"Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I think so."
Former First Lady Michelle Obama campaigned with Vice President Harris in Kalamazoo. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel's strike on Iran seriously harmed Iran and achieved all of its goals. Meanwhile, authorities in Israel say at least 35 people were hurt in what they're calling a terror attack in Tel Aviv when a truck rammed a bus. This is ABC.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers lose to Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, Wisconsin led 10-7 at the half, but number three ranked Penn State came back to win 28-13 last night in Madison. Wisconsin falls to 5-3. Penn State remains undefeated at 7-0. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, it's a good football team. You know, our objective was to get the thing to the fourth quarter play, put ourselves in position, and we did that, and then we didn't, we didn't execute in the fourth quarter. And in some ways, the things that we pride ourselves in, the body blows, that take a toll, maybe got us in the fourth quarter, but there was no lack of fight. There's things we got to do better, that we got to create some turnovers defensively, and then we got to find ways to capitalize on the big plays we do make on offense.
NBA Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. crashed his car into a Yankee Hill apartment yesterday in downtown Milwaukee. No one was hurt. Jackson expected to be with the team in New York when they play the Nets tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny and a bit breezy for today with south winds up to 20 miles per hour, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 30s to near 40. On Monday, a few showers and breezy, highs in the mid-60s.
Right now, it's 48.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, "I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?"
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans. You can call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, we have our friend Rachel Karshunk, Deputy Executive Officer with Strong Hearts Native Helpline on, and I want to say thank you for joining us, Rachel. Please introduce yourself and remind our listeners where you are from in Indian Country and how long you've been with Strong Hearts.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. My name is Rachel Karshunk. I am a citizen of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians, and I'm actually located in my ancestral homelands in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I've been at Strong Hearts Native Helpline not very long. I still feel like it's a short time. I just started back in February, late February, but I've been in this work, the anti-violence work, specifically in Indian Country, my entire career since about, you know, late 2009, early 2010. So,
well, welcome back on. And Rachel, you know, you were on earlier this month, and you mentioned some of the activities your organization was doing to spread awareness of domestic violence. Can you share about some of these and how those went?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. So we at Strong Hearts Native Helpline, we focused our DV awareness campaign on breaking the cycle happens in community. And so we hosted a community chat on October 16th, and it was broadcasted on our Zoom, and it soon will be available on our YouTube platform. And so that community chat went really well. We had our communications manager, Sam, on it, as well as one of our service managers, Naida. And they just talked a lot about the different aspects of domestic violence. They talked about, you know, some misconceptions about domestic violence. What are ways that we can support our relatives experiencing domestic violence? And what are ways our communities can support victims and survivors?
Can you talk about some of these misconceptions about domestic violence?
Yeah, of course. So I actually listened to the community chat. I got a sneak peek and got to listen to it. And both Naida and Sam talked a lot about the different misconceptions that they've either experienced, you know, before they started doing this work, or that that they've heard from, you know, their relatives, things like that. And one really important one that they talked about was the misconception that violence in our community is like a normal experience, right? And I couldn't agree more. You know, as Native people, we either ourselves have experienced domestic violence, or we know someone who has experienced domestic violence. And so, you know, it's really unfortunate that a lot of us, it's just like this normal everyday thing. It's almost kind of expected. It's almost like, I don't want to say like a rite of passage, but it's just this expected thing that happens to Natives. And so you'll see on social media, you'll see memes and jokes about domestic violence. And I'm going to reference one that I just saw pretty recently. It was a frying pan, and it had a piece of fry bread in it. And on the side of the frying pan, it was dented. And it said something about like, auntie got upset last night or something like that, which, you know, I understand as Native people, like we use humor a lot for a lot of things and in a lot of different ways. And laughter is medicine. I truly believe that. But seeing stuff like that just kind of normalizes violence. And that, I think, is a misconception, right? Violence isn't normal. Violence is not a part of our tradition. It's not our way of life. And it was introduced by colonization. So I think when we talk about misconceptions, we sometimes have to look at like how we actually talk about issues that are impacting our communities.
Yeah, amen to that. You mentioned that your team shared some ways to support our relatives experiencing violence. Can you share what some of those suggestions are?
Yeah, so one of the ways that Sam and Naida both talked about supporting our relatives that experience violence is to be involved in the community, right? Especially during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, you know, get educated about, you know, the dynamics of domestic violence, but also what services are available. There's all kinds of webinars, there's conversations like we're having right now, community awareness events. Every community is different in how they want to promote awareness around domestic violence. Some, you know, there's community feasts, there's DV awareness marches, there's, just different events that are hosted. My community actually just last weekend hosted like a Halloween themed community dance that went really well. So, you know, attend those things, get educated. And yeah, we are nearing the end of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but if you're able to still attend some event or, you know, watch a webinar that maybe was previously recorded, you know, participate in those, learn more about domestic violence, and then, you know, have conversations with your, about what you've learned with the people around you, your loved ones, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues. Have these conversations, right? And share what you've learned. Have, I think with, you know, and Naida really mentioned this, she really hit the ball out of the park in this one, when she talked about, you know, we as a community, we as a people have a hard time communicating about some of these really dark, scary, heavy topics, right? And that's no fault of our own. That's from historical trauma. And so we have to be able to start talking about these things in a way that, you know, educates all of us, but also supports us. And that's really the part of like breaking that intergenerational cycle of violence.
Yeah, wow, absolutely. Great words here. Hey, you know, what roles do you see local, national, and communities leaders play in domestic violence awareness and in supporting our relatives who experienced violence?
Yeah, there, you know, it's big. I think it's a really big, to be a community leader, to be a tribal leader, to be a national leader, you know, being aware of domestic violence is critical. And it's really critical for organizations like Strong Hearts and other organizations that work in this movement to educate our leaders, to educate stakeholders, to educate our decision makers on our reality of that we face every day as Native people who experience violence. So when we think about like leaders, they're not often familiar with Native people, right? It's kind of by design that the vast majority of people don't really know a whole lot about Natives or Native communities, Native issues. So they're not going to know and understand that we have some of the highest rates of violence compared to any other group. They're not going to understand that we have limited or often non-existent resources, right? There's a critical resource disparity in our communities. They're not going to understand jurisdictional issues and other mistreatment that our relatives have faced by different systems, education system, health system, all of it, right? So it really is on us at Strong Hearts and other, like I said, other orgs that, you know, to really educate and do that advocacy work to inform our leaders, inform our decision makers, you know, help understand the issues and create alongside us and with us, create and improve and design programming that really supports what our needs are.
You know, explain some of the different forms of examples of domestic violence.
Oh, sure. Domestic violence there's so many aspects of it. There's so many tactics that are used. People, another misconception is, of course, and I think I talked about this the last time, is that people think, you know, it's a physical thing, right? It's only, you know, if there's physical violence involved, then you're a victim of domestic violence. And that's just not the case. You know, there's emotional tactics that are used, name calling, gaslighting. There's isolation, right? Isolating a survivor from resources, but also from that support systems, right? Their family members, their friends, people that are that they can rely on for, you know, support and resources. Financial abuse, that is such a significant tactic, right? It's really, I mean, we are in a state of, you know, we need funds to exist, right? We need money to exist. We have to pay rent or mortgages and buy groceries. And when an abuser uses financial abuse, that really restricts that survivor from, you know, seeking safety and seeking assistance and getting away from that abusive relationship. So those are just some of the tactics, but I mean, there's the power and control wheel is a really useful tool that talks about other tactics that abusers use to kind of maintain that power and control over a victim.
I think too, and I could be wrong, help me out, Rachel, that if your friends are saying that this is not right, this does not smell right, that you should maybe give a call to Strong Hearts and check it out. It's anonymous.
Absolutely. That's one of the greatest things about Strong Hearts Native Helpline is that we are anonymous. You know, and we really provide a lot of peer support. And because abusers can be really good at that isolating tactic, so survivors might feel like they can't reach out to their friends or they can't reach out to their families. They're embarrassed or they kind of, you know, cut ties with them because that's what their abuser wanted. So they can reach out to Strong Hearts, you know, because we are anonymous, we are confidential, you know, and we can be that listening ear, that validating ear for them. That sometimes, you know, people survivors often feel like, well, no one's either going to believe me or they, I, you know, I cut ties with them because my abuser said that I needed to, I need, they weren't good for me. So there's a lot of that shame that exists, I think, with survivors that, it probably makes it easier to call Strong Hearts because, like I said, we are anonymous and, you know, we are non-judgmental and ready to answer the call or text or chat.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, are there any other ways to support our relatives who are experienced violence? I know you've talked about community and broader level, but what are some of the ways that someone can get help on an individual level?
Yeah, so, you know, I think one of the most critical pieces that both Sam and Naida shared was really believing our relatives when they come forward, when they disclose that they've experienced abuse, right? We have there's just a lot of issues around, you know, lateral violence and things like that. But really start by believing, you know, and there's a lot of, when someone doesn't feel like they're being heard or being believed, they carry that hurt and that pain and that shame and anger. And they don't, you know, they don't want to talk and they don't want to share about it. So, you know, reach out to our advocates. We are here to listen. We are here to provide that peer support. We're here to provide, you know, what it is that contacts need, whether that's just a listening ear, if it's safety planning, if it's resources and referrals. But yeah, it's, you know, I think that's one of the, when I'm talking to someone who is like, you know, I have a sister or I have a brother, or I have a relative who is experiencing, believe them. That is such a validation that survivors don't get, right? In that power and control dynamic that they're used to, they're not believed by their partner. So to have a relative or a friend believe them when they're saying, I'm being hurt, that's really important.
We're here with Rachel Karshunk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline. We got like a minute to this break. Can we give, or 30 seconds, can we give the website and the number out real quick before we get to break?
Yeah. Okay, do you want me to?
Oh. Okay, go, I got it this time. Yeah, Strong Hearts is 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. And the website is strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we have our friend Rachel Karshunk, Deputy Executive Officer with Strong Hearts Help Native Helpline, and October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we are really talking about a lot of real things here. Don't be afraid to call if you think, or even, you know, if people are telling you that things don't look good, give Strongheart's Native Helpline a call. Welcome back, Rachel.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, that's a great suggestion because we get a lot of, I have the opportunity to like exhibit or table at certain events, and we get a lot of people coming up and saying, oh, you know, like, I think my sister should probably give you a call. Like, what can I say to suggest? And, you know, we have our awareness items and things like that, but, you know, just really saying like, hey, just give them a call. They're, you know, they're friendly. They're trusting, they listen, you know, and they can talk about the dynamics of your relationship and give you that DV education or that education around what is, you know, abusive, what's unhealthy, what's healthy, you know, and help you determine that on your own.
Oops. I had trouble unmuting there. Hey, we know from past conversations that Strongheart's also connects clients to outside resources, you know, and I love the fact that I always bring this up is about people that feel like they can't leave because they have young ones or a mm-hmm. pet, and pets family, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Oh no, I totally agree. I have two dogs at home and they are part of my family. But yeah, we have native provider database that we routinely update, that, you know, gives us a picture of all the services that are across Indian country or in urban areas, of course, too. You know, I did talk about our resource disparity that we have, and we do that, you know, that's a simple fact is that we do have less resources in comparison to some non-native resources, but we do have our native provider database. We also have a database that we use with in conjunction with the National Domestic Violence Helpline. And so we're able to connect our callers with resources based off, you know, what they're willing to share. If they're willing to share that, you know, they don't want to give us we don't ask for their name or anything like that. We do ask some demographic questions if they're willing to share, but they do not have to. But you know, if they're looking for a certain resource and they're in Los Angeles, California, and they tell us they're in Los Angeles, we can type in our systems and find all of the native resources in Los Angeles and all of the non-native resources. And we also have the ability when it's available, when other services are 24/7, we're available to do like what's called a warm handoff. And that's where we can do a direct connect and help, you know, the caller, the contact, you know, make that call. It's brave. It's courageous to be able to reach out and pick up the phone. And so we recognize that. And, you know, we don't force it by any means. We just offer these as options for folks. And sometimes we get, you know, contacts that will call a couple times, right, before they're ready to actually reach out to a direct service provider who's able to provide some more of that direct advocacy. But our native provider database is something to be extremely proud of. And we're just so happy that we have it as a resource. It's so unique. There's nowhere else where you can find that information, you know, with a couple clicks of a button, and we can point our relatives in the direction that they're requesting to go.
Wow, amazing. And there's also the online stuff too, which if you feel comfortable about that, explain that a little bit too.
I'm sorry, I just need a little bit more context. Online.
Well, we have, you have an online chat, right?
Oh, correct? Yes, of course, yeah. So actually when we first initially launched, Strongheart's was limited in how we operated. We operated in a, you know, 9-to-5 fashion and a Monday through Friday fashion. So of course we know that violence happens at all times of the day, at any time, you know, any day of the year. So we were able to, you know, through COVID, thankfully, a silver lining through that, launch 24/7, but also extend into text services and chat advocacy. And that's a really big piece too, right? I know I'm kind of like that. I'm like, yeah. I'd rather chat or text. It's just how I feel comfortable communicating. So that has really, you know, provided an opportunity for folks who maybe don't want to get on the phone and don't, you know, they're not comfortable like speaking. It's just another opportunity for someone to reach out and you know, seek support in that way.
Absolutely. Sorry about the confusion there,
but no worries.
I wasn't sure what it was called. Haley, we have a whole bunch of help here in the Twin Cities. Name a few of those.
Yeah, I would love to. So we just had on, I think on Tuesday, a couple girls from the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, and they were part of the NUJIMO program, which means in Ojibwe, she heals or they heal. So there's the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. They have advocates for sexual and domestic violence with that NUJIMO program. And we also have another resource more for sexual assault, but the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, who's been a longtime sponsor on Native Roots Radio. So yeah, I think those are some great resources here in the Twin Cities, specific to our community here in Minnesota.
And that's wonderful. And I love to see it, you know, I think every community deserves resources that are specific to our people and our needs. And so, you know, I've heard a lot of great work come out of Minnesota, specifically MUSEC, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. I come from a tribal coalition. So they used to have a lot of communication with them. They do phenomenal work. And yeah, I mean, I think the more programs that are, you know, designed by us and for us, the better that, you know, we can do to really end the violence that, end the cycle of violence that is, you know, slamming our community.
Rachel, can you tell us how to reach Strong Hearts again? And please give us your website, phone number, and hours of operation.
Of course. So you can call or text at any time, 24/7. 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. And you can chat online on our website, www.strongheartshelpline.org. And we are on social media as well. So you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X. I believe we have a TikTok, although I don't think it's, you know, we don't have any content created yet, but, you know, I believe our communications team is going to start getting into the TikTok realm, but you can check out all of our, you know, check out our social media, share our social media. Like I said earlier, having these kind of conversations, talking about domestic violence in a way that is appropriate and reflective and, you know, just really honoring the voices of our relatives who've experienced violence.
Rachel, thank you so much for being on. Really, the energy from Strong Hearts and the growth has just been phenomenal. And I want to just say a big peeny gigi, thank you for being on and offering this to our Native community. It's huge.
Of course, Miigwech. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about, you know, what we do at Strong Hearts and to talk and promote the awareness around the issues that are facing our communities. Like I said, you know, we need to have these conversations. We need to have this kind of dialogue, you know, with our community members up until the leaders that we talked about earlier, right? It really is an issue that impacts us all. And, you know, that's how we're going to start really kind of undo that cycle of violence and cycle of historical trauma is start talking about it in an honoring and you know, respectful way.
Big peeny gigi. Thank you, Rachel, of Strong Executive or Deputy Executive Officer with Strong Hearts Help Native Helpline. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about college students getting threatening text messages about voting. We'll sort out fact from the criminally fictitious.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More than 40 million people have already voted, according to the University of Florida's election lab. It's 9 days.